We are 6 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. Remember, AM570 LA Sports is the only place you can get every single Dodgers game from opening day to the playoffs, and that includes spring training. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock right here on AM570 LA Sports, 866-987-2570. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment, but we want to welcome in a very special guest that has to deal with me very often during the regular season and even some nights during the offseason on Sportsnet LA. He was a winning general manager with the Dodgers during his tenure, saved them from ruins, saved them from Paul D. Podesta when he took over and got them to the postseason in 2006. It's the one and only Ned Coletti. How you doing? Buonasera, Ned.
Hey, buonasera, David. How are you, buddy? Good music right there.
There you go. Ronnie Fazio pulled that up for you.
Ronnie's classing up the show.
Hey, you class up the show every time you come on, Ned.
Well, you're kind today. You'll get after me at some point.
It's the off season. I'm taking it easy on you. Hey, Ned, you've had your share of big deals that you've pulled off. The one that comes to mind most recently is, you know, the two trades you made with the Red Sox, Manny Ramirez, and also that bigger trade that was very unusual when you got Adrian Gonzalez, Nick Punto, Josh Beckett, and Carl Crawford during the waiver trade deadline period in August. How do you keep those things under wrap? How did you keep them under wrap?
Well, you've got to trust everybody involved. And it usually doesn't do anybody any good to announce anything before it's done. And there was in that August deal, there was a lot of medical that needed to be exchanged back and forth. So we completed the deal on a Thursday and really didn't announce it until Saturday. So we really spent, between Boston and us, Ben Charrington and myself and our staff spent all of Friday really going through it. And then on Saturday morning, they had a couple of other guys that no trade clauses that had to be worked through. But again, you do things step by step, and medical is near the end of the process. And then a no trade situation, when you've got that dynamic, is either right before the medical or right after.
Ned, did you ever have a circumstance or a situation where news of a trade you were working on leaked out prematurely and you had to talk to players about it before you wanted to?
There were some leaks from time to time here on one side or the other. And, you know, if a player asked me, I would always be honest at any point in time. A lot of times a player maybe didn't want to know and kind of shied away from it. But if they came looking, you know, I would always explain to them. You know, you get to July and you got a lot of names in print that are speculated. And, you know, players I didn't live in the clubhouse, but I was there enough that they knew where to find me and I knew where to find them. And from time to time, a player would say, hey, you know, I keep reading my name. And I give them it straight. I tell them if it was accurate. If it was somebody that had inquired about them, and therefore their name was out there. So, you know, there's so much news and speculation all the time, more than ever in today with social media and the internet, that, you know, you're going to have names out there all the time, be it true or false, fact or fiction. And so it's important to always communicate with players and let them know what you're thinking if it comes up.
Former Dodgers GM Ned Coletti is our guest. You hear him during the regular season right here on Dodgers Radio, AM570 LA Sports, and you also see him on Sportsnet LA. I'm curious, Ned, I mean, you've been around the game a lot longer than I have. I have never seen the players' union or an agent come out and talk about trade rumors, not a trade that officially has gone down, but trade rumors. Are you surprised Tony Clark put out a statement tonight? And are you surprised Scott Boras has chimed in about the pitcher that he represents from the Twins?
It's a different era. Again, everything used to be in the good old days, or the olden days, I should say. everything was really kind of kept under wraps. And you may have a conversation with a player, as I said, if a discussion came up, but you rarely saw anybody on the outside getting involved in anything and making comments before something actually happens. And it's a different time. You've got so many different people that are put in the know, and sometimes somebody will like to kind of feather their own nest a little bit and let something out of the bag ahead of everybody else. And you know, you got the situation that you referred to here. You know, there's next number of teams involved. There's been no team, I don't think, that's announced anything.
No, nobody's announced anything, and everybody seems to have an opinion on it. I'm curious. I know you've pulled off multi-team trades. How much more complicated does it get when you bring in a third team or a fourth team?
Well, it's far more complicated than just adding one. You've got a lot of different dynamics. Again, you've got another whole set of front office people and perhaps manager and coaches that are involved, at least in giving their opinion. So your group gets exponentially larger as far as who knows what and what opinions are voiced and different things like that. I think it's really tough to pull off multi-team deals and keep them quiet. Ironically, the two deals that you referred to when I came on tonight with Boston, one was a two-team deal, and the Manny Ramirez deal was a three-team deal.
Right.
Then there was yet another one that Theo and Epstein and I made involving Seattle. Nowhere near as prominent players as Manny or Agon. But sometimes you get a team that has got a knack for doing it, and as you cycle around as a general manager, and you keep your finger on the pulse of every other organization. Sometimes you see that match. Sometimes you know where you can go to get a certain player you may not have or you may not want to trade. But you know another team has got another appetite for one of your other players who you would move, and they may have the player that would go hand-in-hand with somebody else. Pittsburgh, for example, going back to the Manny Ramirez deal, had a strong interest in Andy LaRoche. And Theo Epstein had kept calling me in the month of July asking me about Andy LaRoche. And Theo had Euclid and it had Lowell. So you know, I kept asking Theo, you know, were you going to move Andy LaRoche? And he would never let me know until we got right near the end. And it made sense because I had been talking to Neil Huntington about Andy LaRoche a little bit before we ended up moving him to Boston and then to Pittsburgh, all within about a half hour or so. So you pay attention. You kind of know what teams are looking for, what interest they have in the players that you have and vice versa, and what their needs are. But you got to continue to communicate. You got to continue to know what everybody else is thinking and also know who they are, whether or not they can kind of string you along or whether they're going to be straight with you, what their appetite is to make a deal, what their appetite is just to kind of shop and act like they're going to buy. And so you know, you scout far more than players. You scout organizations, you scout GMs, you scout tenor and voice, you scout all sorts of different things as you try to put things like this together.
Ned Coletti is our guest. One final thing for you, Ned, that I believe fans just can't wrap their heads around, and that's how there may be any late surprises in the final stages of a trade that may be consummated. I remember the first time you traded for Greg Maddux, you traded Cesar Asturias, who was coming off Tommy John surgery. Can you explain how much of full disclosure there is between teams and medicals that are exchanged? I mean, for example, Asturias had Tommy John surgery. I'm sure that was not a surprise to the Cubs when you are, or whoever you traded. I forgot who Maddux was with at that time.
Yeah,
but
I traded Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. When you traded Asturias to the Cubs, I'm sure there was no surprise there.
No, he had returned to action, and I had signed Rafael for call during the offseason, so his playing time was limited. It's a little bit different than it was in 2006. 2006, you didn't necessarily have the information bank that Major League Baseball has today, where almost everything that goes on the trainer's room is chronicled, and so a team can, if a deal is coming down, a team can request the medical information, and certainly they will, that has been kept by the training staff, and that's common practice. And I think that as you sort through that, in season is different than off season. In season, you sometimes do not have enough time to really do a ton of due diligence. Off season, you have far more time. You can ask a player to come in and be examined by a certain team. A team can, if you have the deal done, and it's contingent on passing the physical part of it. Players can sometimes be brought in and given their orthopedic group, the acquiring team, the orthopedic group, and the internist a chance to see what's really going on. There can be exchanges of MRIs and different things and what medical treatments have gone on, but it's always good to have conversation. Back in 06 and even in 08, what would typically happen is the trainers would get on the phone and talk to each other, and the trainers would have to know the other trainers too and know, you know, what level of information they typically would be willing to give out. And then many times you would have the orthopedic staff talk to the other orthopedic staff for the other club. And if there was a different type of doctor that you need, like an internist, you'd have those people speak. And then, I mean, you'd fly on and you just keep on moving. But today, especially in the off season, there's more information than there was 10, 12, 14 years ago as far as who can share what. And there's also more time in the off season to really do even more due diligence if need be.
So all this rumors got out a little premature. Everybody was jumping the gun.
Well, until teams announce something, it's never there. I mean, as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, you know, there were always a lot of speculation on, hey, you're going to do this, hey, you're going to do that, and it's an honest approach. I would tell the media or whoever, look, you know, until we have a deal, we don't have a deal.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have it. There's no such thing as 99% of a deal. You either do or you don't. And until we did, we didn't, you know. So
I remember you used to say that to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably, because it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
You either do or you don't. You're not halfway there or 99% there.
Ned, thanks a lot for jumping on and always educating us, especially under the circumstances that we're under right now. I think people just want a better understanding of how these things work. So appreciate it. Glad to have you as our resident GM that can explain things now.
Always a pleasure, David. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for having me on tonight.
All right. Have a great weekend, Ned. There he goes. Ned Coletti. You could hear him on Dodgers radio throughout the day, usually with Rogan and Rodney, and on Dodger Talk after games with myself. And you see him on Sportsnet LA.